Hi guys, I am in London today, so yeah, that's why I'm looking cold. This is a really, really different environment, obviously, to last week. Last week was the boat edition in the sun. This week, not so much. Actually, there is quite a bit of sun, but it's cold. It's like 2 degrees or something outside. So I'm in the NDC sort of foyer or conference area. At the moment, Scott Guthrie is doing his keynote, so there's a bunch of people in there, and I would have really liked to have been in there, except this was the only chance I was going to get to actually do this update. So I am in London at NDC. I was talking about this last week before I went away, and it's kind of been a bit of a crazy week because all of these things you jam a lot of stuff into. So I did my 2-day workshop on Monday, Tuesday. This is after getting here Sunday, so you're sort of, you know, dealing with the jet lag thing. Anyway, workshop went fine, other than the 45 minutes of projector fail right at the start, not so much fun. But anyway, got all that on track, did the workshop. I did my new talk, I'm Pwned, You're Pwned, Everybody's Pwned, on Wednesday. That went really, really well. Everything was super slick. That will be online later on, and it's got something in it which I had never known before, which is if you go to dark web markets where you buy like data breaches and all the other nasty stuff that's sold on the dark web markets, like drugs, you can actually get orange Trump head-shaped ecstasy tablets. True story, nothing to do with data breaches, just found it fascinating. And actually, the relationship to data breaches, it was sitting in there next to things like Adobe. So it's like, you go there, you buy your Adobe for a bit of a Bitcoin in your ZAT database, this is another breach, for a bit of a Bitcoin, and then there are your Trump ecstasy tablets. I know, it's a weird thing. Anyway, that'll be in the video when that goes live. So that talk went really well. The next day I did my Hack Your Career talk as well, which is one that I've done in Auslan, Sydney before. That's already up on my website. Well, actually, it was up on my website from previous talks, not the one that I did just yesterday. So if you go to /recorded-talks, I'm going to check that that's right. Did I call it recorded-talks? I think I did. Yes, recorded-talks on troyhunt.com. And you'll see those. And you'll also see these new ones once they're up there. That'll be a little bit longer. So I did that. What else have I done? Heaps of media stuff, because I did a new Pluralsight thing. I was going to write about the new Pluralsight thing this week, but it has been kind of busy, so I'm going to try and get that written before next week. But as a result, I've had 4 different press interviews over the last couple of days. I've got to do another one in about a half hour as well. This is all around creating positive security cultures within an organization. So that's kept me pretty busy. I've got a couple other things today. I've got to do a talk with the Hello World podcast that Heather Downing and Spencer run. So you'll see that up a little bit later on. And there's another thing. Oh yeah, PubCon. Got to do PubCon tonight. So you won't find any recordings of PubCon because it's one of these what you say in the pub stays in the pub sort of things. But they're like an epically fun conference with 5-minute lightning talks from a bunch of speakers. So I got to get my slides updated there. I'm doing Make Cyber Great Again, which has been a good hit. And there is, as you would expect, some new material for that since I last did that. So that's been London. London's been pretty crazy. Tomorrow morning on Saturday, I'll go over to Oslo where it's proper cold. And I'll do the workshop again. We'll do some more security stuff. I'm heading there with Scott Helm tomorrow as well. So we've been hanging out here this week, which has been pretty cool. And yeah, so next week I won't come to you from Oslo because I will be in Copenhagen by Friday. And I have a feeling next week is going to be one of these, my weekly update is proper late sort of scenarios, because Friday is just absolutely smashed with things. So that'll be next week. Now, this week I did write something earlier on that I want to go through, which has been something I've been working on for a little while, but it's been really important for me to actually get this down. And I want to explain why. Data breach disclosures. So I've got a lot of data that I've been sitting on, so a lot of information that people send me. For have I been pwned? And inevitably you see this constant feed of data going into the website, but there are thousands and thousands of files, hundreds of gigabytes of data sitting on my machine waiting to be processed. And one of the things that's really stopping me from getting through that is the fact that the disclosure process is so hard. And let's put that in context as well. If I've got data that's allegedly come from someone's website, I'm not just going to chuck it all up on Have I Been Pwned and that's the first they know about it. Now, if it's already out there circulating and there's been acknowledgements and everybody knows, that's one thing. You know, say LinkedIn, for example. It's quite another when there's an incident that this organization doesn't know about. And the first thing, or rather the last thing I want them to hear about is, hey, your data has suddenly appeared on Have I Been Pwned, and they had never heard of any incident beforehand. So I want to make sure that disclosure is done right. And it is a painful process. And one of the best things we can do with a painful process is sort of automate it and template it and make it reproducible as best as possible. So I wrote this piece on Monday called Stream Monday. I don't know, I lose track of what day it is. I wrote it in Australia, and I think I published it maybe when I hit London. Anyway, earlier this week. Streamlining data breach disclosure, step-by-step process. And what I wanted to do was outline sort of five levels which I'd go through in order to try and get in touch with organizations and then ultimately load data. There's five different levels. And in this post, I applied it to three different disclosures. And I want to talk specifically about how each one of those went as well, because they illustrate the process. Now, just last thing, before I jump into these levels, a lot of the reason of doing this as well is to make sure that I'm transparent about the way the process runs, to make sure that there's community feedback so that people can look at it and go, well, this could be better, that bit's really good, and you know, whatever else in between. Like, I want there to be consultation. And I want to make sure that if I have a situation where I follow the process later on and an organization gets cranky, it's like, look, guys, I did my best. And I went through a process which we had broad consensus was the right way to approach things. So, excuse me. Okay, let's start here. I've broken it down to levels. So level one, so this is sort of the first mechanism by which I try and contact companies. Publish security contact info. So what I would really like to see, sorry, they're all Bristers as well, but I've got a new mic, so I'm hoping the mic's a little bit better this time. So what I'd really like to see is information that's explicitly published publicly by organizations who want to get security feedback. And what I mean by this is specific security-centric contact info. So a good example of this, I've spoken about the security TXT file before. Security TXT it's a little bit like robots TXT, but with directives to humans about how to report security incidents. I'm going to look for that first. I know that I'm probably never going to find it, not in the immediate term anyway, because it is out there as a draft spec. But I want to look for it, and I want to document it, because it's an awesome thing to do. As an organization, you should be doing this, because it is so simple. It is a text file. And it says, here's how to contact us, here's our PGP key, here's any other info that's relevant to disclosures. So I'm going to look for that first. I'm also going to look for a security vulnerability reporting policy. And I've got a link to Tesla's here. And this is not a bug bounty, this is just text, right? And the text says, here's the sorts of stuff, well, actually, Tesla in particular says, it's important that we learn about things that might be security incidents. Here's how to contact us. Here's how quickly we'll get back to you. Here's our PGP key, a little bit like the security.txt file. Tesla also has some text which says, we value security researchers. We know that sometimes things go wrong. We'd like you to get in touch with us. So that's really good news. Excuse me. Now, there's those two things. Also, any security email addresses. So I would love to be able to go to a contact page and see here's like sales and here's marketing and here's security. It's rarely going to happen. Like at level one, it's just going to be an exceptional sort of thing. But it is something that every organization should be doing, because all the stuff in level one is just absolute bare bones, basic, doesn't cost you a cent. So I wanted to make sure I captured that. Now, level two. So this is like level one has failed. You know, I can't find anything there. Let's go to level two. And we're talking now about published general contact info. So this is going to be things like, is there a contact us form? Are there email addresses which have been published, which are there for you to contact the organization? Social media accounts which allow you to contact them privately. So for example, a Twitter account that allows DMs, a Facebook account which allows personal messages. And the other thing which I've since added in, and this was from part of the feedback that then came back after I wrote this blog post as well, is I'm going to start to email standard email addresses. So this is things like security@admin@webmaster@support@postmaster@hostmaster@. And someone sort of made the comment that, look, you know, you might find people listening on these addresses. They are very, very common addresses for organizations to have. And the other thing is that the effort is near zero. And a lot of the discussion around this is, how much effort should I go to in order to try and get an organization to listen? I want to go to enough effort to give them a reasonable opportunity, But by the same token, it's like I'm doing this on my free time, right? Like I've still got to go and do other things, and I've got so much data to process, I can't be spending days on every disclosure. So, level two, publish general contacts. Now, you can normally find one of these. People actually replying to you is a different issue. So what I've said here at the end of this level two is a period of 3 business days should be allowed for a response before proceeding to the next level. So try these things, give them 3 business days, then progress. Now the next thing I've got here is indirect contact information. Now, I'll flag this as optional. And the reason why is that if an organization publishes contact information, forms, email addresses, etc., and you get in touch with them, and you say, look, there's actually a serious security incident, please reply to me, and they decide to ignore you, I'm sort of the view that the onus is really on them, or the responsibility is on them, and if they've consciously decided to ignore this, it's just like, it almost feels like the weight of responsibility tilts a little bit. It's like, well, look, I've done the right thing, they're ignoring it. So a flag level 3 is optional, simply because we've sort of done all the reasonable stuff, and things now start to get harder. So for example, I've said, okay, level 3, start going through things like trying to find company employees via LinkedIn. Like now we're actually having to search and try and draw conclusions about who works for the company and try to contact them there. Who is records? To be honest, who is records are usually near useless because so many of them have privacy enabled anyway. Other sources of OSINT contact information. And as someone else made a suggestion as well, this one was actually a very cool suggestion, they said, why don't you try and find email addresses on that domain in Have I Been Pwned? Because they're saying, hey, Troy, you know you've actually got a lot of email addresses, right? So that actually makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to sort of see how that last point goes about finding email addresses, because I think that's a little bit of a case by case, because if I end up finding someone just like in a totally different part of the organization, nothing to do with the technology and security folks, who could also have been in an incident from many years ago and might not even be in the company anymore, you see what I mean? Like the effectiveness of these communication channels is starting to rapidly decline. Like we're starting to clutch at straws. Now, if I can find those channels, I'm going to give them another 3 days, 3 business days of that. If I can get nowhere there, we're going to go into level 4. Now, level 4 is saying, okay, this is not working so well. You know, like we're going to have to try some sort of desperate measures here. And the desperate measure is requesting security contacts via social media. Now, the reason it's a bit desperate is as soon as I go out on Twitter and I say, hey, has anyone got a security company, or rather security contact at this company, a whole bunch of people are going to go, ah, you've been pwned, haven't you? You know, like they're going to draw the conclusion of what has happened. And that may be the case. It may be they've had a security incident. It may be that I've found something in terms of vulnerability or something that I want to report. But let's face it, I run a big data breach service. That's what it's going to be. So anyway, so that's going to go down to there, and I'm inevitably going to end up getting people come back, drawing those conclusions, but not necessarily getting in contact. And I've sort of said here, look, I'm going to give it about 24 hours. Like if it's out there on Twitter and no one replies within 24 hours with a contact, well, tweets are very, they fly past very quickly. People move on. Which brings us to 5. And 5 becomes full disclosure. And what we mean here is like this is where we're going to say, okay, I'm going to load the data and Have I Been Pwned. There's going to be emails about it. There's going to be tweets. There's potentially going to be press. A lot of these incidents do end up in the news. I mean, this is now sort of all bets are off. The whole thing's public. And this is ultimately where pretty much all of these incidents are going to end up, with some rare exceptions. You know, rare exceptions like the Red Cross Blood Service, for example, because we managed to clean that up. It was super sensitive. Go and read my blog post on that. So we're going to end up at level 5, one way or another, most of the time anyway. And it's just a question of how much effort it's going to take to get there. Now, let's apply this to 3 different incidents which I went through when I sort of tested the model. Now, the first one here is the fly on the wall. And the fly on the wall is this sort of stock market tips site. And someone popped up on Twitter, this is December 31st, so you know, maybe the guy's a bit bored New Year's Eve or something. Anyway, pops up and says, just hijacked some big MySQL database server containing 53,000 credit card details, complete with CVV, Happy New Year's to the 4 million users. Now, this, in a way, is a bit tricky because you've got someone admitting to having just broken into a system. It's not going to work out real well for this person if they get caught in whichever jurisdiction they're in, or certainly if they get caught in any jurisdiction, like here in the UK, US, Australia, etc. But you know, this has now happened. It is an event that data has been taken. I got sent that data, and I looked at it, and I very quickly verified it. And it was pretty easy to verify, and I'm just going to check exactly what I said here. I managed to verify it because I found some Mailinator addresses in there. And remember, Mailinator, no one has any expectation of privacy on Mailinator. They're deliberately public mailboxes. Went into there, found a couple of Mailinator addresses, password reset, or rather password recovery, and it delivered the precise password in the breach to the public mailbox. Now, when you start saying that, when you pick random addresses, albeit Mailinator ones, out of a breach, and then you do password resets, and they send you the password to that Mailinator account, which is in the breach, it's like, look, it's legit. The chances of it not being legit are minuscule. So, now that we know this is legit, let's apply the model. Level one, no sort of security TXT or anything else. None of the public stuff. Level two, there's a generic contact form. I submit the form, I get confirmation. 7 minutes later, I go through and I send them a private Facebook message on their page. I send them a DM. And I did all of this on the 12th of January, which is now... Oh, no, you know what? I did this earlier. I scrolled down a bit too far. I did all this on the 6th of January, which is now almost 2 weeks ago. And I've still heard nothing. No reply whatsoever. So you can see where this is going to go now. So I got no reply, went through public request for information. A few people replied to that. Nothing, bang, data ended up being loaded a few days ago. So, you know, let me just again reiterate this. There is credit card data in this breach. There's plain text passwords. There's 80,000 plus people. That incident is now loaded. People know about it. And I've still not heard from the company, nothing. They certainly haven't made any announcements or done any disclosures, not that I've heard of anyway. And people normally tell me pretty quickly if that happens. So no good there. Another one here, OpenCSGO, which is Counter-Strike Global Offense. And this is a 10 gigabyte file, 512,000 unique email addresses, a whole bunch of data, sometimes related to things like the purchases of what appear to be skins for Counter-Strike. A bunch of personal information, no passwords, because all the authors via auth providers, like I think you could log on via Google, Facebook, I think even via Steam. A few other things there. Go through the same process. Level one, no public security info. Level two, I'm sending emails. It was an email. I put that out via Twitter DM as well. Long story short, no reply from them either. End up putting a public tweet. Anyone heard of, or anyone have a security contact? Nothing. So basically the whole thing, just like the fly on the wall, like absolutely no reply whatsoever. And again, even now, a week after having sent the public tweet, and then what are we at, probably about 4 days after having loaded the data, nothing. I've just, you know, like the company hasn't said a thing. And the third one was kind of interesting. So it's a service called Lyrics Mania, and it's basically just song lyrics. You know, like it's a very, very basic little site. And I've gone through level one, no public security info. This is starting to become a bit of a pattern. Level two, I fill out the contact us form. Contact us form fails. It just spins, comes back with the same thing. No indication it's been submitted properly, which was really frustrating. So I've decided to go into level three. Now remember, level three was like optional. Now it's going to be more effort. See if you can go and find people. And I went into LinkedIn, and via LinkedIn, I found the guy. And there's a guy called Midhan Vincent, I think, from the UAE. And he has on his profile Lyrics Mania, and obviously it's a hobby project. So I look at this and go, all right, well this is the guy. So I send him a contact request on LinkedIn and say, hey, my name's Troy Hunt, I'm a security researcher, yada, yada. I was recently sent a data breach, alleged to have come from you, I think it's legit. So I sent him the invitation, and he accepts it, he connects. And I screen cap all this too, right? So it's all in there. Your invitation was sent, a little bit later he comes back, connects. And so I'm like, okay, hey mate, thanks for connecting. Yeah, I just thought you should know, it looks like your data's been breached. Here are three Mailinator email addresses from the data. That way you can take this, you can look at your database and go, oh yeah, it's legit. Never heard anything back from him. So even after we've had this acknowledgement that he knows who I am and he's accepted the connection, just haven't heard anything back. And this was over 100,000 records. Let's check the exact number. 109,000 records with plain text passwords. 78% of those accounts were already in Have I Been Pwned. So we know that they're accounts that people use in multiple other places. And plain text passwords. And the thing is, yes, it's song lyrics, but those same passwords are going to go and unlock Gmail accounts and Facebook accounts, maybe banking accounts, because this is what people do. And this guy might be thinking, well, it's just a song lyrics account, like who cares, or a song lyrics website. But those passwords are really valuable to other places. So I was, look, I'm almost in two minds about this whole thing. So I'm happy about the process and the feedback from everyone. There's been a few good suggestions. For the most part, the feedback has been, look, this is the right thing to do. It's all very reasonable. And the suggestions have mostly been around, here are other things you could try in addition, some of which I've obviously incorporated. So I'm happy with all that. I'm just dismayed that despite best efforts and multiple contact channels and more than sufficient periods of time, these organizations are just like, yeah, we know our things have been breached, but we're not going to do anything about it. You know, and they, we know that at least the Lyrics Mania guy knows because he accepted the contact invite. As for the fly on the wall and OpenCSGO, I just don't know how they couldn't know after all those contact channels. And then it gets loaded and they've probably had some customers go back to them and go, hey guys, I've heard from Have I Been Pwned. So to start sort of wrapping that up and talking about it, a couple of things that came through in the comments, I don't think this has to be perfect. In fact, I don't think it ever will be perfect. I don't think there's a perfect way of doing disclosure. I have to be confident that it's sufficient such that if I go and load this data later on, I'm not going to have someone come back and go, hey, this was really irresponsible. You just plugged the data into this thing and didn't give us proper notice or anything like that. And that's the key here. I have to be confident that it's the right process. And I don't feel compelled to exhaust all my available resources trying to get in touch with an organization that doesn't want to respond. I will get to a certain point and go, okay, that's it. This is now reasonable. Let's now go and actually load that data. And there will be a few exceptions. A few people said, look, you should reach out to local certs. And I've done this in the past. So I've reached out to AusCert, for example, for the Red Cross blood service data breach. But that is a very laborious process, reaching out, communicating, going backwards and forwards. And the other thing is that most certs or other government entities don't really want to deal with the sorts of data breaches I was just talking about there. They're very small numbers. They're usually usernames and passwords, which, yes, are bad, but it's not like a big whack of the country's history of donating blood, for example. That is a very, very different category. So I'm sure there will be times where I reach out to certs, local law enforcement, other entities of a more formal nature. But I'm not even putting that in the process because that'll be a very, very rare situation. All right, so that's that. I'm going to start applying this to a whole bunch of other data breaches and I'm going to try and streamline it a bit more too. So stay tuned on that one. Now, next thing is this week's sponsor, new sponsor. So I've got a sponsor from Tech Fabric. So Tech Fabric has come on board for the first time. That's great. They're one of the sponsors that's helped me fill out the whole year already. They do scalable, reliable, and secure cloud-native applications. So go and check them out. They've been up there all week, and it's great to have those guys on board as well. So look, I think that's it now. I've rushed it just a little bit because I wanted to get through before everyone comes back out of the room over there and the whole place just erupts. I was thinking about doing this outside, but still 2 degrees. And 2 degrees is just a little bit too little for me. So look, next week again, I might be a little bit later next week. I think I'm going to have to roll this through to Saturday Europe time, but I will have another update. And if you're watching over the week, I'm probably going to have some epic photos of Oslo as well because it's a really, really cool place this time of year. And I don't just mean cold, but the snow and everything's beautiful. So thanks for watching. I hope that's been useful, and I'll come to you next week.